Father, I thank you, Lord, as always. We are here again. Hallelujah. Around the Word of God. The Word of God, the entrance thereof, gives light and understanding. And God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, let him shine in our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Today's lesson, I am back on the subject of emerging, and it all goes along the theme from last year through up into this year. They all go together. We've been talking about emerging since last year. We're talking about experiencing quantum leap this year. We're talking about believing is the driving force behind all of that. We've just been talking about a lot of things. Today, you know, I want to bring us this this lesson. A couple years ago, I started to talk to people at our local church here, at GMI Church, about walking in the prophetic and what that meant. And today, I'm going to expand on that a little bit just to help us to see and understand what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is saying here. So, I want to make a distinction right off the bat between prophecy and getting a word of prophecy, the gift of the Spirit that is called the gift of prophecy, and this thing that I'm calling walking in the prophetic. Now, the gift of prophecy is wonderful. It has its role in the body of Christ. Now, personal prophecy is also good. But let me say right off the bat in today's lesson, this is not about that. And, for those that, are still dwelling in the realm of personal prophecy, that means from a third source, not directly to you, I consider you as a, you may still be a baby, in terms of walking with God. What we want, what the Lord wants is for you, walking with God, God is no longer needing to speak to you through a different source. You're no longer needing to hear from God through someone else. In Him, you live, you move, and you have your being. That's what the Bible says. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. And we are moving into a realm where we're, walking with God, functioning in the Spirit, just like God. So, let me talk to us for a few minutes about this. Now, prophecy is great because the Lord will use that to help us set our sights on what the Lord has promised. Like last year, God promised that we would emerge. That's prophecy. He gave a word of prophecy. And people began to believe it. And it began to work. Well, this year, the Lord also gave a word that we will experience the quantum leap. Now, that's also prophecy. And people begin to believe the Lord towards it. But I want to share something with us today. There are times when we've been believing God for things, want us to move from the realm of prophecy to fulfillment and realization. Now, as long as it is still prophecy, you are still here and He's still there. Or the thing is still there. The two things have not yet merged. Where you are is still different from where the prophecy declares. There's still a separation. There's still a gap. It's still, and that's what happens, you know, when we are not really functioning and moving with the voice from the throne. You know, there is a way that God wants us to develop this sense of walking with Him to the point where, you know, it's no longer God is there and we are here. You know, it's His, we are in Him. What He's doing is what we're doing. What He's already done is what we are now experiencing. It's no longer future. You know, so I'm going to bring it down to help us to get the things that we are believing God for today. Now, prophecy and faith are powerful elements that we must have, and we use them to our advantage. Like I said before, faith will see prophecy gives the promise, right? The word of God says you will emerge or you will experience a quantum leap or whatever. That's prophecy. Faith will see it afar off. But believing, we said, is the process that gets you there. Well, okay, I want to go beyond that step even today. I want to go beyond the step where you are already there. That's right. So we're already there. No matter what it is that we're believing God for, we need to transition from it's still prophecy to you're already there. Hallelujah. You know, now, fulfillment and realization is what I want to talk about today. You know, and how you can move quickly from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. Well, you know, the process may be long, but this year God said it will be a quantum leap. It can move quickly, you know. Now, normally, it could be a long, drawn-out process that you have to go through. But as you begin to understand what I want to share today, you might be able to transition very quickly from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. It all starts with prophecy. You know, for us, now we receive through the gift of prophecy or through a word from the Lord that here's what God's going to do. And that's prophecy. And walking in the prophetic, though, the way I define it, is different. You are in the realm where that word is not coming to you from somebody else. Not only that, you know, you're getting it yourself, but you are understanding and walking with the unction from the throne to the point like you are kind of like Jesus. And Jesus said, look, I can't do anything except what my Father shows me. But when the Father already showed you, you're already walking in it. You know, so according to Jesus, He said, look, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's John 16 and 13. But we need to move from it's still future to the reality, realization, and fulfillment that we're already in it. We're in it already. So let's just break it down. Suppose it is a case of deliverance or healing or believing God for something. How can you move from, okay, suppose the Lord even declare the word, which we know there's, you know, there's a lot of things He declared in the written word, but even if you gave you a spoken word to encourage you, and that's prophecy. But how do you move from, okay, I am the Lord that healeth thee, to actually you are healed? You know, and we've spoken about this, especially in the last few days, that those promises are there, but yet we don't see the fulfillment. Today, I want to talk about the fulfillment. Now, part of our challenge as believers and even end time believers is that we always look at all the great things that God has done in the past and all the great things that he has prophesied are coming in the future. And there's this gap in between, which is the moment. Because the Bible says, now, see, today is the day of salvation. Salvation could be a number of things. Now is the accepted time. You know, so yesterday is already gone, and we don't need to be looking only to the future. You know, we've already learned how to see the future by faith. We've already learned how to move towards it through believing. Well, I want us to learn how to be in it. Now, this may be difficult to explain, but I want you to be in it. Not be looking for it. Be in it. Well, you say, well, how's that going to be? Well, just hold on now. You know, let's learn how it works. Now, with Christ's example, the things that we saw Christ say and do can help us. You know, because Christ himself said, John 5:19, look, I can't as a son do anything except, you know, what the Father shows me. Now, when the Father shows me something that he does, then that's what the Son also likewise doeth. But remember, the Father has already done all things. You know, from the perspective of God, it's already done. You know, as I've often said before, that God doesn't actually start anything until the thing is already finished. I mean, he's already finished it before he even started it. You say, well, I mean, how's that possible? Well, not in your natural mind. You can't get that. But, you know, come with me. Praise the Lord. Come with me into this lesson. You know, so there is a spiritual growth pattern of why we were children. Even Paul said, look, when I was a child, I did childish things. Now, the childish things that the child did, I mean, they're not necessarily a sin, just being a child. You know, they do foolish things, you know, but it's just being a child. That doesn't necessarily make it wrong or right. That's just a child. You know, but as we grow in the Lord, and as you grow even in the natural things, as the child grows, look, there's come a time when you got to put away childish things. And it says, look, and when we are childish, not childlike, but childish in our faith, we can't understand these kind of things. Now, here's a verse that I want us to think about. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, verses 14 and 15. I know, he said, do you know, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and not anything taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now, verse 15 says, that which has been is now. So, the past is now. This is how the reality, the realm of the spirit, when we're in God, not just he's here, we are here. This is how it works. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God required that which is past. I mean, to God, the future, what we call future, has already been. That which is yet to be has already been. You know, So this verse in itself is prophetic. Now, many people look at this verse as in the natural to say, well, he's just saying there's nothing new under the sun and this and that. Well, yeah, but he's saying that. But this is the prophetic revelation of this scripture. That which is yet to be is already been. That future is already past with God. So he doesn't start it in our own realm unless it's already finished in his own realm. It's just that simple. And if you understand that, then we can, you know, I mean, it's going to take the grace of God, I realize, to understand that, but you can transition from prophecy to fulfillment. Now, let me even talk about spiritual things. Because this thing that God is doing for us is in both realms, spiritual, physical, material, whatever. You know, when we, you know, there's a process to becoming sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 talks about the process. You know, as many as receiving, to them he gave the power to become. So it looks like there is a process. But we know they're already sons of God. So there is a process. Now, you can be on that process of becoming and just keep being in that process of becoming, or you can already be. You know. So which one is it going to be? I mean, we can be becoming forever, you know, always learning and never coming to the realization of fulfillment or knowledge of the truth. I mean, always getting prophecy and never coming to fulfillment and realization. And there's always prophecy, you know, or we can transition into a realm where it already is, you know. I mean, so this is what I want to talk about today. And I'm looking to the Holy Spirit to help me to explain it so that you can get it, you know, get it and transition from it is yet to be to it's already been. And we say, well, yeah, but it's not, I don't see it yet. And Jesus said, well, blessed are those who believe when they have not yet seen. You know, Thomas said, look, until I see his hands, until I put my hands in the holes in his hands and feet, his side and everything, I will not believe. And Jesus was listening, even though he wasn't physically there, but he was there in the spirit, you know. And then Jesus came back and said, well, you said that, so here I am. And you see the mercy of and the grace of Jesus. You know, he just wanted to help this man. You know, he loved him, just like he loved all his disciples. John chapter 13 said, look, Jesus, having loved his disciples, he loved them till the end. You know, so he loved Thomas, and, you know, he wanted to help him. So he came back again the second time, because the first time he showed himself, Thomas wasn't there. And so Jesus said, okay, Thomas, here we go. Come over here. I want to show you something. Got my hands. This is what you said. You said, until you put your hands here and you feel it, come feel me. Now, Jesus actually did something for this man that he didn't do most of the time. He just appeared to them in, you know, in a form where he could walk through, pass through the walls and just appear in the midst. You know, but he materialized physically to allow Thomas to touch. And it was something he wanted to do for him. You know, and so this is how compassionate, this is a bit of digression, but it helps you to understand how the Lord works. This is how compassionate the Lord is when he's trying to help you to get into the realm of reality. And so Thomas said, well, Lord, now I believe. And Jesus said, you believe now because you have seen and touched my hands and all of that. Well, blessed is he or they who haven't seen but yet believe. But in a way, they actually do see. It's just that then Jesus is saying, not in the physical realm, but they already see in the spiritual realm because everything exists. You know, there is nothing, you know, that does not exist. It already exists. You may not see it with physical eyes, but it already exists. Even if it's not there, it's there already in God's mind. So somewhere, it's there. You know, and that's why God, you know, himself, this is the way God operates. He sees the thing in his mind, and he makes it appear for us in our realm. He calls things out, but it's already there in his mind, you know, and then he just calls it out. And if we know how to walk with him, we can actually operate in that realm, you know. Now, suppose today you're praying for a miracle. Let's just keep it simple. You're praying for a miracle. You know, you need $100. You only have $5 in your wallet. How can you go from, and then the Lord said, look, I'll give you $100. Maybe by prophecy, maybe by inspiration, maybe by whatever means. How, I mean, try to break this thing down. How can you go from having the $5 to actually having $100? Because five is what you have. But Lord said, I'll give you 100. And you're believing for 100. Now, how do you go? This is a lesson. How do you go from having $5 to 100? Or even having nothing to 100 if the Lord said you have 100? Well, the first thing is to realize, unless God gave you a time factor, is to realize with the Lord, there's no time. What we think is future is already past. The past is now. Everything is the same with him. So to transition from the place where you have nothing or only 5 to 100, you have to see that you already have the 100. Now, we talked about how to see the promise, how to be persuaded, how to embrace it, how to confess it, and all of those things, you know. But this is another dimension where you're not only just seeing the prophecy and the thing afar off, actually walking in it. Praise God. You know, so now, it's going to take baby steps for us to understand this. But this is what it's going to take, even for us to get to the position of the reality of sonship. Now, let me digress a little bit and tell you about the processes that you must go through to become a full, you know, sonship, you know. And for some, it may take a lifetime. For others, some others may experience a quantum leap and get there quickly. But if you look at the layout of the temple that God gave in Exodus to Moses, we see that outside the border were the camp, outside the camp of the children of Israel, which were bordered by three tribes on east, three on the west, three on the south, three on the north. Outside were the Gentiles, unbelievers, were not even allowed to come in. So the process is, at first, you're an unbeliever. And then later you believe and you come into the commonwealth. You come into the group. So you're there. You're part of, you know, you're in now. Well, when you are in, instantly, when you believe, you are in. But it takes some people to realize, it takes some people time to realize that it can actually be saints. A saint in the mind of many people is somebody who's already dead. Like Catholic religion and all these things, it calls, you know, St. Peter, St. This, St. Mary's, and that. All the people that are already dead, those are the ones that they think are saints. However, the scripture refers to us now as saints. Because in all of the writings of Paul and others, they would write to the saints that are at Colossae, to the saints that are at Philippi, to the saints that are at Ephesus, to the saints that are in Thessalonica. and so on and so forth. Called to be saints. So it takes some people time to realize that. And maybe through proper teaching, they may eventually realize that. If they don't realize it, then they continue to call themselves sinners. When you continue to call yourself sinners, then you continue to act like a sinner. You know, many people, even after years of believing God, because of improper teaching, they still refer to themselves as sinners. You know, and then they think that that's being humble, that's being contrite with God. I mean, before God is to call yourself a sinner. Well, that's being, you know, without knowledge. You know, God doesn't refer to you as a sinner anymore when you are in Christ. You know, so, you know, some people take time to figure that out. But eventually, they figure it out through proper training. You know, it's a lot of training and, you know, learning, reading the Bible, going to Bible study and all of these things for young believers that helps to develop them into being a true disciple. At first, they are struggling with identity in Christ and so on. So you're moving from unbeliever to believer to saint to disciple, you know, and you're progressing through these layers that are in the temple layout. And there are many things along the way to help you. You know, there is the brazen liver, brazen altar. Then there is the laver that you use to wash your feet and all of these things. And then you come into other places where you're now, you receive the Holy Spirit for service. You know, the Holy Spirit enables you, you know, it says the gifts of the Spirit and so forth are given so you can profit without. And so now you're receiving the Holy Spirit and you're moving into service, you know, servanthood. But when you are a servant, you're still short of many things. Jesus said, well, a servant does not know his master's will. But I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friend. So you see, now you can move from servant to friend. And then when you are a friend, as I've taught in this room before, that's the highest level they got to in the Old Testament. Even Moses, Abraham, all these people were friends of God. The Bible said that Moses and, I mean, God spoke to Moses, you know, face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But he was still face to face. God is still here. Moses is still here. And their faces are still, you know, here and there. You know, but that's the best you can get to. And that's the best they got to in the Old Testament. Servanthood. I mean, our friendship. And even in the New Testament, early parts. But that was before the cross. Until Christ died, it was still Old Testament. Even though it was recorded in the Gospels. Because the Testament is after the death of the testator. So while Christ was speaking to his disciples, that was still really technically the Old Testament. And he said to them, look, I'm moving you from servant to friend. But then finally we see that when the disciples themselves received the Holy Ghost, they started to understand even better some of the things that Jesus had taught or alluded to. And now they're telling you that now you're moving into sonship. John is writing about it. Everybody's writing about it. Paul's writing about it in the book of Galatians saying, look, when you are a kid, you are like this, but you need to grow into sonship. And when you get into that sonship, it's a place where you're union with him. Jesus said in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. Well, they took up stones to kill him. Because you can't be one with God, they thought. But they are so wrong. You know, a real son. In fact, that's why they killed Jesus or tried to kill him many times. Because they understood that if you say that you are a son of God, then you are God. That's what they thought. They said, look, how is it that you, being a man, make yourself equal with God? Because if you call yourself a son of God, then you are equal with God. Even the Jews understand that, but people today still don't understand that. You know, that when you become, you finally get to that point, you are now one-on-one with him. You now become just like him. We've gone full circle now from the beginning of, you know, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, be like us. And now, we're right back there. So you see the whole process from unbeliever, you know, to believing, becoming a saint, becoming a disciple, you know, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and then sonship. And the individual person is called a son. When you finally get into that place of one-on-one in the most holy place, you are a son now. So together are called the bride. Individually, it's a son. And the group collectively is the bride. But I tell you what, there's something also that, you know, the Lord wants you to understand today. That process can be a long, drawn-out process, or it can be accelerated. That was the spiritual side. Now, take that and compare it with the natural side. It's the same thing for everything else. It's a process from where we are, you know, from the point where the angel came to Mary and said, such and such will happen to you. Well, that's prophecy. You know, this is going to happen to you. At first, she said, well, how can this thing be? Because I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. And the angel was gracious to her and explained it. He said, yeah, I know that's difficult to understand. But here is the deal. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing that will be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now, Mary at that point had to move from prophecy to fulfillment already. Because the moment she transitioned from, well, how can this thing be? To be it unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh inside of her. Hallelujah. And she became one with that word. And she transitioned from, well, how can this thing be? To the word was made flesh. See? And the word became flesh because she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, immediately, that word became flesh. You know, then she left to go visit her cousin Elizabeth because the angel told her, look, your cousin is 6 months pregnant. And everybody thought that she was barren. But there's nothing impossible with God. The one that they thought was pregnant, barren, is now 6 months pregnant. So she went to visit her cousin to hear and see the good news herself. You know. But as soon as she got there, Holy Ghost came upon her cousin. Nobody already told her. Nobody has told her. Mary isn't even showing. Nobody knows that she's pregnant. But the Holy Ghost knows. Holy Ghost speaks through Elizabeth, because as soon as Mary appears there, the baby that's in the womb of Elizabeth jumps for joy. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, why, how come the mother of my Lord? How did she know that? You know, so Mary is now in the reality already. She's now the mother of the Lord already at that point in time. She just barely received the word, but already Holy Ghost is confirming it because she had transitioned from, look, how can this thing be? Into, well, be it unto me according to your word. And the word became flesh. And she's now in union with the reality and the fulfillment. It's already there. Praise God. At that time, nothing could stop it. There's not enough devils anywhere to stop it. You know, Herod or anybody else trying to kill that baby can't stop it. Heaven will respond in kind once you become one with the word of prophecy, and you are now in fulfillment. Now, providence will then move into place. Some of you might remember I taught on providence, protecting, you know, the purpose of God in your life. I taught on this a few months ago. Providence is God's continuous act, watching over your destiny. Now, your destiny is the word of prophecy. You know, that could be future. But once you are in that fulfillment, providence will now step in. Herod wants to kill all the babies. Providence says, no, this thing is already in motion. You can't stop it. Whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be taken from it. Nothing can be put to it. You can't stop it now. It's in motion. And this is what we want to talk about today. Let's transition our mindset from the word of prophecy, which is great. You know, but transition into fulfillment and reality. Well, you say, how can that be? The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. You know, and the Lord will have mercy on you. But listen, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. If the Lord has been teaching you and teaching you and teaching you, and yet you don't learn anything, the angel of the Lord might be angry with you. But the angel of the Lord, they are the ones that are dispatched to bring you this glad tidings, good news, and all these things. Angel of the Lord was the one that came to Mary. Angel of the Lord is the one that came to Zacharias. You know, the mother of John the Baptist. I mean, the husband of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. But at the time that the angel appeared to Zacharias, who was supposed to be more knowledgeable, was a priest for crying out loud. You should understand these things. You know, he questioned the word of prophecy. Well, just like Mary questioned. But the angel was more patient with Mary, because Mary was just Mary. I mean, she was just a maid, basically. Now, this was a priest. You need to know these things. And so when the word of prophecy said, look, your wife will conceive. And he said, wow, how can these things be? The angel was not as patient with him. He said, look, you being a priest, serving in the house of God, and also on and so forth, you yet doubt my words? And he said, look, here's what I'm going to do. My word will come to pass nonetheless, but you're going to bear in your body from now until you see that thing, dumbness rather, for not sanctifying this word in your heart. So he couldn't speak from that point on. The very mouth that said, how can these things be? You know, the angel said, well, that's it. You know, so to whom much is given, much is required. Now, many of us have been in a position where God has loaded us with teaching, understanding, I mean, so all kinds of things. And yet we say, how can these things be? Just because in the natural, you haven't seen it just yet, like Thomas. But you should see it and say, lead unto me according to your word. And then you are in it. Once you say that, you are in it. And then providence will protect it from that point on. So from the moment that Mary received that word, she became pregnant. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's it. Right there. The moment she received it, the word made flesh inside of her. She left, went to go and visit her cousin, and already cousin is saying, wow, the mother of my Lord coming to me? Well, yeah. You know, because the Holy Ghost is same with Mary, same with Elizabeth, connecting the pieces. And so Mary herself was even strengthened by that salutation. You know, because she was like, wow, you know. And, you know, all that time, she's going through stuff on her own too. You know, because having to deal with that, how am I going to tell Joseph and my family these things? I mean, suddenly become pregnant out of wedlock, because she wasn't married to the man yet. You'll just be betrothed. And it would be a stigma, not only to her, but to her family, to her father's house. And even Joseph minded to put her away privately, because he loved her and he didn't want to disgrace her. So he was just going to send her away somewhere where nobody knew her. You know, and some people do that. They go and hide, you know, and so forth. But Lord, providence again came in and said to Joseph, see, God is now watching over the reality of that prophecy. Isaiah prophesied it years ago. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Micah prophesied it. That was Isaiah 9 and 6. Micah prophesied it. You know, Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be least among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Even in Isaiah 7 and 14, he prophesied about a virgin shall conceive. So they spoke about these things hundreds and thousands of years in advance. You know? But once it became a reality through Mary receiving the word and aligning herself with it, it changed from being a prophecy to fulfillment and realization. From that very moment, Isaiah 14, 7:14 was fulfilled. The moment that Mary said, yes, let it be unto me according to your word. And even according to her, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance. There was already a performance. Because how would you have known that she was pregnant? You know, it was already a performance. All those things were already performed. It was already done. It's just a matter of time. It's done already. So, this may seem like a strange lesson. But hey, listen. You know, it's the same thing for us today. Now, there are some that have been praying for something, and we pray for it year after year after year, and it's the same thing. But the Lord says, let's transition from prophecy to fulfillment. Praise the Lord. Now, and today, in this room, right now, this moment, hallelujah, just like Mary, right then, right there, that moment, she became pregnant. Now, right now, right here, this moment, something is going to change. Hallelujah. You know, you're going to move from, I'm believing God, to, well, praise the Lord. You know, what we waited for has come to pass. And now, you are inside the reality and the fulfillment of the thing. And you know that it has already happened. Never mind if somebody else doesn't see it. No, that's your own problem. But you are in it already. And, you know, those who are walking in the spirit, they'll see it too. Hallelujah. Those who are in the same realm, dimension of the Spirit of God, Elizabeth was in that dimension and she saw it. Even though Mary didn't tell her anything. Nobody told her anything. She was in the same realm and she saw it. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to move from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. And let me again clarify, I said this at the beginning, but in case you came in late, I am one that believes that we must walk in the prophetic. But I'm not talking about just prophecy, and I'm not talking about personal prophecy. You know, all of those are for when we were babies. And you know, if you're looking, always looking for personal prophecy, well, you'll be a good ground to pray on for those who want to give you a word anyway. You know, those who are always looking for personal prayer, you go from this place to that place to get a personal word, and you go from that place to first place to get a personal word. Well, yeah, you can be easy pickings for false prophets, you know, and those like to prey on, you know, innocent minds. I won't actually call them innocent, I'll call them ignoramus, you know, because you should know these things, not trying to be cynical or rude or anything, but it is the way it is. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, you know, how long shall I be with you? You know, oh, faithless and perverse generation, you should know these things already. I mean, how long shall I suffer you? You know, Jesus didn't appreciate the fact that people didn't know what he was already trying to teach them. You know, so God doesn't appreciate that we don't, you know, we're just living in stunted growth. I mean, if you're a parent and you have a child, you know, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, two years, they don't develop, they're still the way they were when they were born. I mean, how in the world are you going to feel? That's called a stunted growth child. You don't, nobody wants that. You know, you, there's certain stages in development, maybe by 6 months, some develop earlier than others. They're starting to sit up. Maybe by 8, 9 months, they're trying to take their first steps. You know, maybe by a year or so, they're saying a few words. And if after 2, 3 years, they're not able to say a single word, then you'll be concerned that maybe they have a speech issue or whatever. Yeah, and if they're not growing, they're not developing, you'll be concerned. Same thing in spiritual things. If we're not developing, I mean, we're just the same way. You're eating milk all the time. You're not developing to anything. You know, that can chew some strong meat. And God is like, look, how long will you be a baby? We're up already. Praise the Lord. And so when we grow up, we put away childish things. And then when we grow up, there's also some things that are no longer of concern. You know, when the babies are growing through their toddler phases and so on and so forth, their trainer pants and all these things, the parents are trying to train them so they won't have any accidents. You know what I mean? You know, wetting their pants and so forth. Yeah, and especially when they want to go to bed. The mother makes sure they eat early. They don't drink a lot of liquid in the night so they can go through the night without having an accident. You know, all these kind of concerns. But they're still, you know, childish. You know, but at some point in time, they grow out of those things. They just grow out of it. And it doesn't matter if they eat late at night or drink late and die. Nobody cares. Nobody's even thinking about it. They're still not going to wear their beds, but they've grown out of that thing. You know, so they're no longer like that. They've grown up. They've grown out of it. So we need to grow up and grow out of it. Grow out of this childish, not childlike though, but childish faith. You know, where, you know, we're always wondering, oh, is it going to be? You know, of course it is going to be. But beyond that, it has already been. That which is yet to be has already been. So here is our memory verse for today. And let me see if we've posted that in the scripture. Someone help me post those scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's not a lot of posting going on today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. Those are our memory verses for today. Particularly verse 15. You know. And let's read it again together. You know, he said, look, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. This is King James. And God doeth it so that men should fear before him. That's verse 14. And then verse 15 says, that which has been, in other words, the past is now. And that which is yet to be, the future, is already past. And God required that which is past. So this is how God brings all the dimensions together. This is how we can say that God doesn't start anything until first he has finished it. Because with him, this is the dimension of functioning with the Lord in his realm. This is where you are walking in fulfillment and realization. Not just prophecy that is yet to be. Well, yeah, that's prophecy. But fulfillment and realization is it has already been. So when you bring prophecy, fulfillment, and realization together, you are in the now. Hallelujah. That's it. The now, you know, is what brings all of that together. So let's stop only considering all the great things that God has done in the past. And yet the word of prophecy for what is going to do in the future. But we're in this twilight zone here where then nothing is happening. You know, no. Transition from this twilight zone of nothing happening to this place of fulfillment and realization. Because now you understand that that which is yet to be in your realm has already been in God's realm. So that's our lesson and memory verse for today. Understand from this verse that there are many dimensions that are hidden in here. The dimension of the unction of the voice from the throne is in here. You know, the dimension of walking in that prophetic is in here. You know, the dimension of the prophecy is also here. Prophecy just gives you what's to come. The prophetic is walking in the realization of it. You know, and it's already there. And you got to realize that, you know, the thing that is past with God is present with him. The thing that is future with him is past with him. It's all in this verse. Because he's eternal. There's no past, present, or future. It's always the same with him. So when we move from that, our natural realm, functioning in this realm, this is how we're going to experience the things that God wants to experience for us this year. And some of you can experience the quantum leap beginning right now. That's right. Right now, Mary went from, you know, a maid that's not been with a man to being pregnant right now, right in the moment, because she received that word, became flesh in her. Right from that moment, she was pregnant. That's it right there. Glory to God. Now, I want you to transition your faith, and I'm going to pray in a few minutes over this room. This is part of our emerging in order to experience a quantum leap. But there is a, you know, there is a subtle lesson that I'm bringing here today. You know, to transition you from it's going to be to it's already been. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's what faith is actually. That's how faith is described. He said, now, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, hope is still future. You know, what does a man yet hope for if he already has it? When you're hoping, that's still future. But you got to move from hope to evidence. I got it. I've subscribed the evidence. I see it's right here. I got it right now. You know, the evidence, that's the reality, fulfillment of what you have not yet seen with the natural eyes. But you have moved from hope, you have moved from prophecy to fulfillment. Praise God. Even in our spiritual things, we need to move from God's going to do this great thing. Let's move into it right now. Hallelujah. Let's start walking in this greatness of what God we think is going to do in the future. Why not right now? Why must it be in the past and in the future? That's the way it's always been with the people. God did great things in the past. They saw it. They read it in all the writings of the prophets, Moses, and so forth. And then they also knew that God's going to do something. Even Herod asked them, look, where will the Christ be born? They knew it. They knew Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They searched the scriptures. They knew it. And they knew it would be. But when Christ was born, according to the things they knew would happen, right there under their noses, they missed it, point blank. because they were still looking for the Christ. Until today, some Jews in Judaism are still looking for the Messiah. When Messiah comes, who will he be? He said, well, it will be God. Well, he already came, and they missed it. That we miss not the day of our visitation. And the day of your visitation does not have to be one moment of encounter. It can be a life of moving in Him, being in Him, and living in Him. In Him we live, we move, and have our being. A lifetime of walking with God. Now, there's always action where God's at. Praise God. So God's doing all the time. So we just got to elevate ourselves to actually seeing what He's already done and moving in it, moving with Him and so forth. Instead of just hoping that someday we will attain. Well, that hope needs to graduate to reality and fulfillment. And you can do it starting today. You can change your perspective on how you receive the Word of God from this futuristic posture of God is going to do something to the now. He's already done it. And then what does that mean? Well, even though you're still believing and waiting for it and still praying, you got to keep praying and believing, but you're actually walking in it and acting it out. And you're thanking Him and praising Him for it. You're combining all these things. Well, you say, some of that is contrary to each other. No, it takes practice for you to figure it out. Jesus already knew that He had died for the world. If the Lamb was slain before the world began, even before there was Adam, before there was any sin, the Lamb was already slain. He already knew it. But yet, there was a process He had to go through. So I'm not dismissing the process, but I'm saying in that process, even though you are praying, believing God for it, and so forth, you got to understand that God's already done it. Jesus had to know that He had already died for the sins of the world even before He came. He already knew it. But He had to go through the process, but for Him, it was already done. But in His natural human person, which is what the Gospels are, show us the human side of Him, He had to pray it through. So pray it through. But know this, that it's already done. Praise God. Providence will guide and guard you through that journey to the destiny. And from this moment, if you can believe it, you're already pregnant. From this moment that Mary believed it, she was already pregnant. That's it. And, that's why the prophets could say things like, according to the time of life. That means from this moment, for the next 9 months, you're pregnant. You're going to have that baby. And if from that moment, and say, it doesn't matter. It's done. Praise God. You know, so let's believe God. Now, what is your petition? One time the king asked Esther, what is your petition? Even to the half of the kingdom, I gave it to you. Now, that was some favor. Well, what is your petition? Remember, Jesus also said the same thing in Luke 12 and 32. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has stretched out the golden scepter to you. Put your hand on it and come closer. I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my father appointed me. Luke 22 and 29. So come and get it. And if you are in that kingdom, then walk like you are it. Hold your head up. Praise the Lord. Now, it's not like the devil is not going to have, you know, an attempt to frustrate you and derail you, but the angel of the Lord will come and strengthen you. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was reading, you know, when Jesus was praying, and he was praying so hard that blood was coming out of his head, that the Bible said, an angel came and strengthened him. I'm like, wow. You know, well, you know, I need that too. You know, sometimes when you are traveling in prayer, you know, you need, that's providence. It's not like in the spirit realm, Jesus needed that, but he was a man in the flesh, just like us. And so, you know, he had to go through the same things. He had to pray, he had to sleep, he had to wake up, he had to do these things. And, you know, and, you know, because he was in a realm with the Father, the angel had to come and strengthen him. You know, how does an angel strengthen somebody? Well, that's for God to know and that's for you to find out. The angel came and strengthened Daniel. The angel even came and said, look, I've come to give you understanding and strength and power, you know. And then the angel also came and strengthened Christ. How did he do it? Well, it's for you to find out. You can experience that too. May the angel of the Lord be present with you in the times when you think, all right, Jesus, he was all alone at that moment. Come and pray with me, they slept. Come and pray with me, they slept. Come and pray with me, they slept. But he went in there and he grinded in there in prayer. And the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. The angel of the Lord will strengthen you as well. To believe God, even if it's just you, believe. But while you are believing, move a little higher and start praising the Lord, for it's already done. In the words of Isaiah, and I'll close with this as I pray over the room. In the words of Isaiah chapter 44, and here's one we're going to read in verse 23. Sing, he said, O ye heavens, for the Lord is going to do it. No. He said, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. You know, this is because the Lord has already done it. So let's move from he's going to do it to he has done it. The Lord has done it. Let this be your song. What we waited for has finally happened. Be your song already. The Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath done it. Not the Lord is going to redeem Jacob, and the Lord is going to glorify himself in Israel. Well, at this time, they still needed redemption. At this time, they still needed glorification. But see how he puts it in the past tense. The Lord has already done it. The Lord has already redeemed Jacob. The Lord already glorified himself in Israel. Well, change your language. Change from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. Prophecy will still come. But, you know, once you receive that prophecy, and transition from how can this thing be to Lord, be it unto me according to your word. From that moment, that word becomes flesh in you. And you move from prophecy to fulfillment. And from that point on, the Spirit of the Lord, the grace of providence, will watch over you. Make sure no Herod can come in there and try to kill that baby. It's not going to happen. If the Lord had to come by dream to Joseph or any way, he'll guide and he will guard and he will keep that word that just became flesh. He's going to do it too. Hallelujah. Now that's my lesson for today. You know, as we go through this year by the grace of God, God may bring some things he has shown me to do and still waiting. God may bring us, you know, encouragement from time to time and help us transition. We're climbing some ladders here. And I know I've been teaching faith, 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 faith. But I don't want to only be teaching faith that people think it's only futuristic. No. You know. And you've got to climb those ladders. And as you're climbing that, I mean those steps. As you're climbing those steps, it's what the Lord showed me. You get to a place, there's some kind of a landing. You got to pick something up there. And then when you think you're there, you raise your head up and you see that, oh my goodness, there's still more steps to climb. And then you start climbing. But you can't leave those things you picked up. You got to carry those things along. And if for any reason you either didn't take one of those things or you left it or you dropped it, you got to go back and get it. That's right. You know, that's the journey and that's spiritual maturity. You got to carry along everything and you're moving higher. And so we're moving from prophecy as we climb these steps, moving into fulfillment and realization. Praise God. And God wants you to become like him to the point that, you know, we're not constantly saying, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, do this, Father, do that. You're already there. And you can just walk in these things like he walked in them. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your people. There are some that have heard this word today and will run with it. And the scripture says, make it plain on the tables so that they can run with it and read it. Make it plain also in the ears of the people that they can hear it and believe the Lord. From the moment that you believe today, that word is made flesh in you. And we no longer need to keep saying the effect of every vision is afar off. No, for the Lord has already done it. Therefore, we shout for joy because the Lord has already done it. We sing for joy because he has done it. Teach us, Lord, how to function in the realm of the Spirit, walking with God in what he has already done. Now, that which is yet to be has already been. And the Lord is the one that is going to watch over his word every step of the way. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Indeed, has already performed it. Praise the Lord. We move from hope to reality. We move from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.